Welcome to Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow.
I am so excited for today. I have a treasure for you guys. I have Jason Antelet, also aka Akashimon. Yeah. And what he does is he's a guide and he is a teacher and he does intuitive readings, but his specialty is the sacred Akashic records. So I'm going to be talking and bringing him to you today. So sit back with your cup of tea and let's say hello to Jason Antelet.
Hello. It's so nice to see you again. I it's a joy to be included in your podcast and get a chance to share about the records. We've done this before together and it was a lot of fun and very successful. So I'm hoping we'll get to share some tools today that will help your community.
Love that. Thank you so much, Jason. And before we jump into talking about the Akashic Records, because I think a lot of people, it's like almost a buzzword. People hear about it, but they're like, well, what is it? And Jason will explain that to you in just a minute. But I wanted to say, we've been rolling in the same cosmos, maybe lifetime after lifetime, you know, but it's really wonderful to have such a great support. One thing that I appreciate a lot about Jason is that he doesn't just woo-woo. He does woo-woo, and then he helps you ground it and apply it to your practical life to affect change, transformation, to heal. You know, there's one thing I like to say, and I want to get your feedback on this one, Jason. We earn the medicine that we carry, and we earn the wisdom that we have. And a lot of times we earn this wisdom through the hard times, through the dark night of the soul. And I know about your story. And so I just wanted to say, how was it? Because I want to encourage people that are going through hard times, that maybe they're turning into a shaman, a medicine person. So can you share with us just a little bit about how you came into the spiritual working?
Anyway, you're exactly right in the assessment of how we're kind of approaching spirituality, right? You get that, you sort of get the position you've earned. I feel like that probably works in the afterlife. It probably works before we get here, works kind of while we're here. It seems to be pretty congruent through all of those stages. And logically, that makes sense. And as you said, I like to keep things grounded in logic. I think sometimes two scoops of woo is too many. I think one scoop of woo and one scoop of logic, right? And that two scoops of woo, man, that's the podcast you're getting invited to next, just so you know. But the beauty of being able to connect it, right, and help people across those planes, whatever they are, whether it's this way or that way or whatever, like the shamans, right? They're essentially bringing information from one plane to another.
Yeah.
And packaging and delivering that information. It really is sort of the same. It's just spoken differently. It's approached differently.
Yeah. I love that, because, you know, one thing that I've been saying a lot is, what good is spiritual esoteric wisdom if we don't apply it to our practical life and lived experience?
Mm-hmm. I think it was, I never can quite repeat it exactly, but I know you can. Have you ever met anybody that's too spiritual for any earthly good? Is that how you say it? Because that has always stuck with me since the first time you said it. And I've said it many, many times. I think I gave you a dollar for it at some point. But the wisdom of it stays, yeah. Right? And that's what I think is one of the neat things about wisdom. It's very obviously universally applicable. It's the same stuff today. Right. It's useful today. It's useful tomorrow. It's useful back then when we have hindsight, right? And wisdom really does that, where truth is very in the moment. Right. Truth is very subjective and is what it is and has this fluctuation and change to it. And the two of them both have great powers. Right. But the way they get there is different.
Hey, absolutely love that. I never really thought about that wisdom is universal and truth is subjective. Even like my truth is going to be a little bit different than the person's truth that was sitting next to me when we watched the car accident or the blessing or whatever you want to say. But yeah, so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good.
There it is.
And you know why I know that? Because I used to be so spiritually minded that I was no earthly good. There was a point that I was like that. And I was like, but I was raised by a spiritual leader. So there was always this understanding of applying, but it was always up here. How spiritual can we get? How much can I see auras? How much can I do this? How much can I talk about astrology? And it's like, yeah. And then how much do you know how to cook a meal? How much do you know how to, you know, do these practical things? And that's what I really enjoy about you, Jason, is that you do have that analytical mind and that wisdom, but yet you are like Akashimon. I say it like I don't know. I say it like I like you need to have like a cape and a big A on your, you know, and you're like a superhero or something like that. But a little bit around that, what like for everybody that hears about the Akashic Records and who knows how to explain them? Oh, it's a library. Oh, it's this. You actually go in there. So could you kind of give us a little bit about what is Akasha? What is the Akashic Records? Can you explain that to us?
Sure. That's no problem. I love the superhero metaphor. I've been doing a lot of superhero focus because I believe our day-to-day abilities lead to our superpowers. Right. And that really comes from the Akashic Records. And Akasha, as you mentioned, is a Sanskrit word that is kind of the primordial energy, right? The original stuff, kind of the stage that everything occurred on. So before there were elements, where did those elements get where did they get created? They got created on the stage of the, you know, Akashic Records, right? It's that original energy. So the Akashic Records are the vibration of what actually occurred. Right. That way the integrity is intact sort of from the beginning. Right. So individually, our Akashic Record. So your Akashic Record, Granddaughter Crow, is the journey of your soul from the very beginning.
Right? Wow.
So however you figure that out for yourself and what that looks like really is your interpretation of it. So if we leave it there, right, it's a journey of your soul all in kind of one place. I do like the book metaphor in a sense because it gives us a place to start and it kind of that whole library works. But there it's like if you go in the library and say, I want a book, and the librarian goes, what do you want a book about? You're like, I don't know. I didn't know this place was here. You know, there's all this stuff. So like, oh, there's this card catalog, but you're not ready for that yet. You know, because I didn't even know it was here. So she can point you to some place and you can try to find something. And eventually, you know, you start to figure it out along the way. But when you get the card catalog, right, when you have directions and a frame of reference, now you can look things up, you figure it out. And that's what's missing for a lot of people is that frame of reference so that they can get to the information that they need. Because once we have it, that's when we can really do things with it. And to me, one of the first things that we can recognize is our talents, the ones that, as I said, lead to our superpowers. If not some of those talents, like I spoke about truth and wisdom, to me, those are actually superpowers, right? In their own way. And soul level energy is where that information comes from. Therefore, that energy, what's happened to that energy is held in the Akashic Records.
What I have noticed was like in 2020, a lot of people with social distancing or, you know, shelter in place or work from home did a little bit of a deep dive into a little bit more of their soul and maybe kind of woke up the bear. And now they come back and they're like, but I don't want to start working from the office. I kind of like this. I want to discover more about me. So people, if you're out there and you've done, you know, you're reading your books, you're trying to find something, you're trying to find, you know, what am I about? What the hell am I doing here? What am I about? And that's when you can go and talk to Jason at www.akashimon.com. And so What do you think about that concept of going, people diving in, waking up the bear, and then now all of a sudden they're looking for deeper answers than they were prior?
Part of that, where I see the stepping stones, right, the day-to-day gifts, they start to identify what those are and figure out who they are, right? Because it's one thing to tell, to identify it, but it's a different thing to apply it. When Superman found out he could fly, he bashed through a lot of things before he got any good at it, right? It's just sort of how that works. So it's almost just built into it. So until you can accept that, until you can look at yourself and have a little humor, maybe a lot, because we need that sometimes, okay, come on. But if we don't take it so seriously and we give ourselves a chance in it, what I see is that the hard times really is where we hone the gifts. We just don't always notice it because we're so busy doing what we're doing. We're focusing, right? So somebody from the outside, like you or I, that has a view of that, a big picture opportunity in that, can point out different things. I love to say that it's hard to eat a bowl of soup we're sitting in, right? Because I can tell you all about somebody else's soup. I just look over, right? But eating my own soup, it's a little weird. And it's a little gross and a little telling at the same time. But the ability to not take ourselves so seriously in a statement like that, right, allows us to alternate perspectives, to see things a little bit differently. Where I see people getting hung up is when they've chosen their beliefs, right, and they're applying those with, you know, varied success. That's why it's always good to have a mentor. I always have one. I am so much better when I have somebody to work with. And they're all saying the same thing, folks. Just find one you like and work with them, because things will get better. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It just matters that you do it in a lot of cases, especially when you know it's time. But when we have that kind of influence and we can really step into more of that, the application gets easier, right? So how we do it becomes more obvious. That's what happens, is we identify, hey, I've got this gift, but now what do I do with it? Right. And that's where I really come in. I can help people identify stuff all day, but what do we do with it when we find it? That's where the real fun is.
I love that. Again, practical application, practical application, practical application. So I have a very interesting question for you. I do Granddaughter Crow stuff, which is more natural world, shadow work, da da da. But I have these experiences like deja vu, or I've met this person before. How come I feel so connected, but we've only known each other? Or what are those considered Akashic record? Am I going into my Akashic records? Could you give us some context around what if I was going in there and I didn't know it, or I didn't call it Akashic records?
That's a truly insightful question. I think that really sets the stage for a lot of people to understand that they are actually accessing that kind of information. Okay, so if we're talking about the vibration of everything, right, when you go into your memories, in a sense, that technically would be Akashic Records, right? We could call it that simple. If we go farther back into a past life, we're still looking at the same thing. What is the soul doing in between lives? I don't know. I'm not positive. I got some ideas from reading the records and talking to other people about their experiences, right? And it shows up in the results. But I don't truly know, because I'm in a human form right now. I'm not really supposed to.
And especially now, because the consciousness has been changing. Like you just referenced, people are digging a little deeper, right?
So having more information about ourselves and being able to get to it more easily kind of makes sense. The wheels are greased a little bit, in my opinion. To grease those a little more, sure, I'm all about it, right? But that's what gets them to the next level of things, right? So their understanding of who they are and then applying that and some of the trial and error then weaves together to get to the next place. Right. And their ability to tap into their intuition, any kind of memories, any kind of whatever it is, wherever it's coming from, can be useful. You still have to develop the language. Right. There's always a language around it, at least on some level, even if it's not complicated. But the integrity of the records allows that language to be very, very clear. So the resonance is obvious because you can connect it so quickly. And as you've said, that for me is one of the biggest things, is that how do we
get this esoteric knowledge into a form that we can really connect? Well, we've got to put it into our everyday experience, right? So a lot of us have done that by trial and error and figured out what we're good at, right? Like while you're doing your podcast, you're having so much fun figuring it all out, right? Yeah. And it's killer because it gives you so much to work with and it gets a lot of what you do out there. And people need that knowledge because in our heads, you and I, like, it's not doing any good just being up here. That's why I love teaching so much, right? Because we've gathered so much stuff. Like, please ask me questions. I want to answer questions. Yeah. And even the future, imagining the future in the Akashic Records, when we imagine dinner or whatever, that's still the same kind of thing as a memory. So if we just take that timeline and extend it, you know, beyond a single linear time, then it's pretty easy to see how it can get expansive very fast.
Brilliant. You're the first person that brought that information that the Akashic Records, and maybe I'm just limited in my understanding of it, but that the Akashic Records, it goes through all space and time without the line. It's in the future as well as the past. And, mm-hmm. and it's really interesting because I say, you know, your mind does not need to be limited by space and time. You can remember over here, you can think about the future. And now I'm just like, or it could lead you to the Akashic Records.
Yeah. You know? Have you ever, do you have daydreams where you imagine, or you have a dream where you kind of wake up and it was so real, right? And it's not a projection. It's just something that, or you meet somebody like you explained, like you shared, all of those things that you shared, feeling like a geographical location that happens to me sometimes when I travel, that sort of remembrance energetically is there. Right. So certainly people are tapping into that. And even though they may not identify it as the records, I find that for a lot of practitioners that become students, that once they start studying the records, they're like, I've been in here all the time. I'm like, yeah. Now you've got a clearer path. Right. But you already have a resonance and an understanding. Now that's just amplified. And it shows them very quickly how easily those things can be integrated. Because if you're already using it and just didn't know it, you're like, oh, now I just have the knowledge. Now I just hone that skill and ta-da, you know, it's not difficult. Like, the records are not difficult. It can be very logical and succinct.
I love that. My mind is blown. I'm like, how much time have I been in the library? How much time have I spent in the records? Because I have a lot of memories. I have past life experiences. I have, like, I relate to that. I knew this was going to happen and all of that. And so
I would say that for you, I can't remember if I've read for you or not, but if I have the information, I could probably answer this way more directly. But I would say that for you, and this is the sense that you can tell me if I'm correct or not. You're not just tapped into just the records. It's kind of the universal knowledge, right? The wisdom, you're connected to the wisdom. So when we have that opportunity, the records are part of that, certainly, but there's lots of sources of knowledge. The records aren't the only thing out there, right? It's the energetic vibration of what actually happened, right? But there's lots of people and souls and, you know, that contribute to their own record in their own way. So when you look at it through somebody else's view, right? When I come to somebody, they come to me with a record that's this way, and I can see their original record and kind of lay them over like a transparency. This is out of whack. This is out of whack. This is out of whack. Let's get those back where they go. Right. And that's where that's where people find me is when, or my students, frankly, is when they are looking for that kind of assistance. So when they get to the place of doing and what do I do next? Right. It really can be very empowering to experience that for themselves in a unique way that matches who they are at soul level, not just who they are as a person, right, who they've chosen to be as a human being, but who they are at soul level. And to see that that is multi-dimensional, not just within us. Yeah. Right. We're in a third dimensional space. But how different is our fourth dimensional space, which I call the mind? Right. The subconscious, all the ego and higher self all tumbling around in our seemingly brain. That's like the fourth dimensional space. But how different is it than third? Right.
Right.
And now take that to the fifth dimensional space. It's like we're underwater. Yeah. Right. So for those concepts to be easy to funnel down and to put into place, it's no wonder that a lot of us struggle with that. We have a hard time with it. We have to find a way to do that. That's really what we're doing, is finding a physical way to do those things. So that's our how. How do I do it? What do I do next?
Yeah. And how do I apply it? So now in this dialogue, now I understand. For me, what I'm seeing is a librarian of the Akashic Records. I'm seeing a soul map guide that will go, oh, well, I know that you can see a lot of your life and maybe past lives and your soul vibration, but how do you want to apply that? And this is where you want to look, and this is where you want to look. And so it's wonderful. You can tell that Jason is just dynamic, great teacher. And of course, does the one-on-one reads. He does them online. So, you know, if this is speaking, if you found this podcast, you might want to Google www.akashiman.com and find out what he's doing. You've got some events coming up and classes and one-on-one reads. Tell us, like, what's going on with you? What's next coming up for you?
Well, this is a really special day, because the day we're actually doing this, I'm starting the level two class. So I just got through level one with soul realignment, which I'm one of a dozen of the only licensed facilitators literally on the planet, which is kind of unfortunate because it's a really great modality. It's kind of revolutionary, but it's sort of the Swiss Army knife to get everything you need from the Akashic Records and how to frame it to give it to people, right? So I've been doing that for, you know, almost a decade now, and it's the way I see the world, it's the way I do things. And when I need to go back to the drawing board and start over, I go back to the same information that I teach, that I share with people, and taking people through that process, right? And not everybody wants to become a reader, right? Not everybody needs transformation. Not everybody needs change. Right? It's not necessarily the jive for everybody, but there's a lot of information there too. And that's where it's going to start anyway, right? Information into knowledge. So my truest love is sharing that at the level that those classes make available, and getting to teach level two. In level one, we went through an entire reading from beginning to end, learned how to do everything, the whole package. And once you're certified, you can charge for it, right? It's a source of income. And then in level two, we're adding multiple readings to the roster. So tonight, we get to start talking about that, and the teaching, just prepping for it is so exciting. To get into that environment with the community of people that are learning and be able to share at that level and learn from them, because I absolutely do. That's some of the best parts of it. Right. So that's my truest love. My entrepreneurial passion says I like to put people to work doing what they want to do, what they love to do.
Oh, well, I'm down with that. I am down with that. So get to work, Jason. Get to work.
I will. Class is at 5:30. Class at 5:30 tonight. So yeah.
I love it. So thank you so much, Jason. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow. Please leave a review. It really helps. If you want to see us on the screen, you can see us on YouTube, and then like, subscribe, and share the info, because this is good stuff. So once again, thank you, Jason. Say bye-bye to the audience.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening.